The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. During the chaos of World War II, as the fascists were plundering Europe, Winston Churchill was trying to encourage the citizens of Great Britain, trying to encourage them to rise up and do their best. And so he gave a pretty long speech, but there's a particular part of his famous speech that I want to focus on. He said, "Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth lasts for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour." Even after this famous speech, years of hardship and conflict lay ahead for Europe, but Churchill's invocation of the finest hour was about more than just a simple point in time. It spoke to a significant moment in one's life, a purpose for which someone or something had been created. And as we're in the season of Lent and hear the words of the gospel today, we know very well what Christ's finest hour was. It's that thing that we're heading for right now, Good Friday, when Christ hangs on the cross. But it's not just Christ who has finest hours, and certainly not just the Brits. St. Peter, too, had a finest hour when, as he was escaping martyrdom, attempting to flee the city for fear of persecution, he instead chose to turn back at the city gates, right to his death, just as Christ did. Then we also have the story of St. Lawrence and his finest hour back in 259 or somewhere around there, during the reign of the Roman Emperor Valerian. And as St. Lawrence was laying on a fire, being burned to death, he looked to the Roman Emperor and told him, "Flip me over, this side's done." What's important about these finest hours, though, is that they don't happen in isolation. The metal required for a finest hour for this purpose is forged in the school of life, the school of virtue, and self-denial. As the gospel today says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Just as the grain must die in order to live, so too we must die to self daily in order to grow in self-mastery and Christian virtue, and so live the gospel to its fullest. Christ knew from before he was born that his life would lead to the cross, and so he prepared every single day of his life for it, with self-denial and, most importantly, obedience to the Father. And the saints, too, practiced the faith daily. They prepared themselves spiritually for whatever was to come. Oftentimes, we get this mistaken notion that, you know, like, the saints were just being, well, people, until one day they woke up and decided, oh, you know, today's the day that I'm going to go die for my faith. It's not how it works. Because they don't just wake up one morning and decide it, but rather they wake up every morning and they decide that they're going to follow Christ and obey the Father to the best of their ability. And it's this little progress that they make over the course of their life that allows them to do so. They prayed regularly. They gave of themselves as often as they could. They fought against their baser instincts. They fed the poor. They clothed the naked. They built up their ability to say yes to God, whatever he asked of them, until finally, God asked them for their finest hour. My brothers and sisters, this is how we're to live too. This daily taking up of our cross, of self-denial and self-mastery, not just during the season of Lent, but throughout our entire lives. St. Paul, in one of his epistles, says that the faith, this life of ours, is like a race, and it certainly is. But too often, I think people consider this kind of like a 100-yard dash that we're running in the faith, and that's not the case. It's definitely not that. This is a marathon. And marathons take a lot of training, a lot of preparation, a lot of water, too. Hydration's important. But it takes a lot of effort, years of effort, in order to actually run the race well and to be able to run it for the rest of our lives. Again, it takes practice, daily taking up our cross, daily trying to do the will of God the Father as often as we can, with every breath that we breathe. And again, it takes years of this effort in order to truly die to self and so join Christ in his finest hour on his cross. God bless you.